God's words be spoken. May God's words be heard. Amen.
Amen.
Like many of you, I suppose, I was glued to the television, taking in the monumental news this week of a former president of the United States being convicted of 34 felony crimes by the people of the state of New York. Of course, this is news to us here in the U.S., but many other countries, including France, South Korea, Egypt, Algeria, Japan, Israel, Russia, Norway, Italy, and more, have convicted and imprisoned former heads of state, long before we ever got to putting one just on trial. So not exactly big news around the rest of the world. Of course, there are other trials going on, this time in federal court, with our own Democratic Senator of New Jersey, Menendez, that starts this week, and Democratic Congressman Cuellar from the state of Texas. Corruption seems to know no political boundary. And none of this is limited to politicians. I mean, there was the news of horrific videos of Sean Diddy Combs and the federal grand jury investigation into alleged sexual assault, too. And so much more. The sad truth is that we have an unhealthy habit in this country of assuming that if you are rich, famous, or powerful, you must also be good, right, and just. We tend to put our famous folks up on pedestals. And we become shocked when they come falling down hard. We want to blame the system. We want to think it can't be true. What is it that we can believe the most horrific things that are untrue about some people, but not believe the very things about people we like? Well, it's a type of blindness, or really deafness, to what is right in front of us. And it doesn't happen overnight. Are y'all watching The Morning Dove? Is it back in the church? Yeah, we coaxed it out. It's a thing. Whoever it is, she seems to like it here, so that's good. I was thinking about all this when pondering the text for today, and in the story of Samuel, in the first reading, the passage opens with, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread." The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. Hold on to that as we hear again the story of Samuel. Now, he was a boy, don't know his age, probably definitely less than 12, and the first child of Hannah, who had prayed to God in that very temple where Eli serves for a child. She promised in that prayer to give the child to God's service if her prayer was answered. And when she finally gave birth to him and he was fully weaned, she made good on that promise, brought him to the temple, and offered up a prayer. And if we paid attention, we would hear this in parts of Hannah's prayer. It wasn't read today, but, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry are fat with spoil. The Lord raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap." Sound familiar? Anybody? It's what Mary, the mother of Jesus, had in her heart when she prayed with knowledge of who it was in her womb. And yeah, as I always point out, Mary knew. Back to the story today, though. Eli was old and had stopped listening to God. His sons, leaders in the temple, were corrupt, and they had preyed upon those they were called to serve. And into this environment, the young Samuel was offered by his mother in fulfillment of her promise to God. This is why, as the text notes, the boy did not yet know God. There was no one to teach him, at least not until this moment. Now, Samuel is sleeping in the temple and hears a voice. Now, this might be a warning for everyone. Be careful where you sleep. Or as one pastor put it, the sermon for this text ought to be titled, The Danger of Sleeping in Church. Anyway, back to young Samuel. He hears this voice calling out, Samuel, Samuel. He gets up and he runs to where Eli is sleeping, wakes him up and says, got your call, what do you need? Eli, likely annoyed, sends him back to bed. The voice is heard again. Again, Samuel goes to Eli. And again, Eli tells him to knock it off and go back to bed. Finally, when it happens again, Eli realizes, ding, that this might not be some sort of annoying teenage prank. That maybe, just maybe, this kid is hearing something from God. So Eli tells him to go back. And if he hears the voice again, to respond with, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And listen, he does. To the bad news that he must deliver to Eli, that God is really ticked off at the wickedness of his sons and his unwillingness to do anything about it. So things are not going to go well for them. Samuel goes back to his mentor and says, Eli, you're going to lose it all. And Eli responds, yeah, that tracks. The thing is, this is a call story. For Samuel, of course, but also Eli. For though he had long ago stopped listening to God himself, he had the experience and the wisdom to guide the young Samuel in how to listen to God, and thereby enabled the prophetic work Samuel would do in his life. Now remember that bit that opened the story of Samuel and Eli? The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. The word of the Lord rare? Highly unlikely. God is always speaking. Then and now. And the question for us now is, are we listening? Do we even know how to listen? Samuel could, but he didn't understand. That's because hearing and listening are not the same thing. He needed someone to help him. And I'll tell you, every single person who ever was called into ordained life will tell you, and we didn't understand what it was we were called to without help. People saw in us or heard God's call in us. They were able to help us listen, help us respond. Eli may have lost his way, but in a sort of final act of grace, he was able to guide his young charge so that Samuel could do what he was called to do. And to Eli's credit, he pushed Samuel to fulfill his vow to God and speak the prophetic messages he was told to, no matter how hard it was for Eli to hear. What about us? What about you? Yes, you. Whose voice are you listening to? Sadly, though many go to church on Sundays, they often follow others, whether on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, the news, whatever it is. We're really good at following. But the one we promise in our baptism to follow, his voice, well, sometimes it doesn't break through. I mean, maybe it would be better if Jesus had a TikTok channel, you know, Christ Talk, right? It's like a mug one of you gave me that says, Jesus is my influencer. And the other side of the mug says, like and follow him. Folks, we're not meant to listen and follow famous people, movie or music stars, politicians, or Insta influencers, because when we do that, I can assure you, we will be deeply disappointed. We who are baptized into him are meant to listen to Jesus, to hear his voice, to answer his call. And oh, how we need to do that these days, because the voices of others are loudly proclaiming to follow Jesus, but advocate with flags, banners, and social media Christian nationalism. Now, remember that bit in the hymn? I was really struck by it. Where in the hymn that we sang this morning, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up, how long? How long? Indeed. Now, I've been thinking about this for some time, and I will continue talking about it for as long as there are people who dare to conflate Jesus with earthly civil power. These folks are the Elis and his sons of this day. They have stopped listening to the word of God. And get this, okay, maybe you've seen it. There are memes going around with the former POTUS is hugged by Jesus with the words, I too was persecuted. Or depicting him hanging on a cross with a flag as his loincloth. I kid you not. Anybody else seen these things? To which I think his mom would like to have a word. Something along the lines of the Magnificat. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Never, and I mean never, equate the Son of God to any human politician, artist, sports star, or anything else. No matter who they are, that is blasphemous. Folks, we have serious work to do, and we cannot delay in doing it. We need to listen to God. We need to speak about our faith. We need to proclaim the good news of Christ, that unconditional love of God. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit and help others to do that as well. And that means that sometimes we'll have to say things to people, as Samuel did to Eli, that they don't want to hear. It means we also need to listen to the ways in which God is calling us. It means we will need to be watchful for those God is calling and help them to hear God's voice. Help them to respond and be who they were born to be. And that takes practice. So it also means we have to be continually reminded of who we are and what we're called to do. I remember a story about the former newscaster, Dan Rather. And he spoke once about his way of keeping his professional objectives always in mind. He said he looks often at a question he's written on 3 slips of paper. Keeps one in his wallet, one in his pocket, and one on his desk. The program reminder asks, is what you are doing now helping the broadcast? We should have these notes too. Except for us, it would read, is what you are doing now helping spread the good news of Jesus? And if, of course, the best place to practice spreading that good news is right here. Right here in the church. Though, try not to fall asleep. For it's here that we are reminded who we are in word and in sacrament. Here we are given strength for that call in the presence, real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Here we learn to listen to God's voice. Because for perhaps the only time in our crazy busy week, we don't have our cell phones out. We aren't also cooking and watching TV, working, or anything else. Those are set aside. Here, we allow ourselves the luxury of a singular focus to listen in heart, mind, and soul to God. And when you do this, when you set your ears to listen, you just might feel in your deepest heart some voice stirring. That happens. Remember the words of Eli and say, "Speak, God, for your servant is listening." And if someone says to you, they are sensing something deep inside, something persistent they can't quite name, tell them to listen more. And help them to hear it, to respond to it, no matter what it may mean for you. Do this, all of you. Do it because the world needs prophets, those who hear the word and share it with others. But there are many powerful voices out there shouting hate and killing God's children by their words and deeds. The world needs visions. For so many have lost the ability to dream of what can be and what should be. And visions are the lanterns that light the path toward what is possible. As we enter this month of June, in which we call for an end to gun violence on June 3rd, when we celebrate the freedom of people of color on Juneteenth, when we proclaim that love is love is love in all of this Pride Month, we need to remember who we are, to listen for God's voice, to help others to listen to and to respond to that voice in the world, because that is what being a follower of Jesus is. We listen to his voice and model him in the world. And that means we never align with earthly power, but serve all of creation, guided by the Holy Spirit, and with the humility of Jesus by the grace of God. That means we never hate anyone or anything, but love all people unconditionally and seek forgiveness when we fail, as we humans are bound to do. That means that we do not look for human idols for our guidance, but only to the one true God. Because Jesus is our influencer, and we follow him. And because of that, we will fight against injustice as he calls us to do. We will speak up for the voiceless as he calls us to do. We will be the repairers of the breach as he calls us to do. We will serve the prisoner, the immigrant, the sick, the poor, and thirsty as he calls us to do. We will listen to his voice. We will say, "Speak, God, for your servant is listening." And if we do that, all the world will come to know that the word of the Lord is truly plentiful in these days, and visions are widespread, most especially the vision of peace and harmony, of love and joy that God dreams for us all. Amen.